What did that look like? Well, I think we're going to be in Hebrews 11, but we also maybe want to put a marker, as I have done, back in Genesis chapter 6 in that area. And I think we get a description here of what the days of Noah looked like. So Genesis, we know this passage of Scripture, description of what the Bible says. You've read this, you understand this. So it's not new, perhaps, to us, but I think it's good to get a fresh perspective so we can keep in mind of what we're facing is what Noah faced. And to me, he's a man that really stands out and gives us some things, perhaps, that we can learn how to live in these days, okay? So that's the thought here. But the days of Noah, Genesis chapter 6, and verse 12 says, there's a lot here, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Genesis 6, verses 5 to 7 say this, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil." The Bible says continually. So that, to me, I take the Bible exactly what it says. I mean, right, just take it literally, and it says here that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, meaning man's heart, was only evil, and that was continually. Now, we could think, well, come on. I mean, I must have had a good thought here or there, but that's not what God said. And I don't know that we're necessarily there yet. Perhaps our world is, but I believe that there is certainly a remnant today that wants to honor the Lord, and I believe that's us here today as well as many, many others. But it says in verse 6 of this chapter, we'll keep reading, of Genesis 6, is that it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. I've underlined this next phrase, and it grieved him at his heart. I can't help but think that as God looks down from heaven's glory and sees our world today, that it grieves his heart. That it grieves his heart. The things that we have already talked about with what is going on with the violence and the murder and all of these different issues that are swirling about us, it grieves him. The Lord said in verse 7, "I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." Verse 11 of chapter 6 of Genesis says, "The earth was also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence." So the descriptive terms in these verses are something: wickedness was great, every imagination only evil, it grieved God, corrupt before God, filled with violence. And that was maybe a time gone by, especially for the older generation here this morning, that some of these things we could only imagine. But now we understand a little better today what the days of Noah were like and what the days in which we live are like. But I think as we describe and look at the days of Noah, when we consider the difference of Noah, to me, as bad as the days and culture were, increases the difference in which Noah was. In other words, the contrast was that much more evident, we could say. The day is wicked, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I believe that he made an impact, or at least attempted to make an impact, on the culture in which he lived. And this is my proposition, our thought, that I believe that we can learn from Noah, that we must live by faith to be different in difficult days. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you so much for the Word of God today. And I'm so thankful that you gave us your Word so that we can learn and know the truth that you would have us to know, but also we can take that truth and apply it and use it in the day-to-day things that we see and face and the decisions that we need to make, the things that we need to do. You've told us in your Word. And I pray today that as we look at the life of Noah and the difference that he was in difficult days, that, Lord, we can also choose to be different in our day. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to see the things perhaps that we can apply from the life of Noah to our lives today. We'll ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. So in Hebrews chapter 11 is the faith chapter. And there was one time when I was pastoring in Nova Scotia, I started off a new year preaching on this chapter and then took 6 months to do it. But we won't take 6 months today, okay? But I took all of the Bible examples that really are given in Hebrews chapter 11 and looked at them and the passage that it was referring to. It was very helpful in our life and living by faith. But I want to consider Noah today. I will move around. We'll be back in Genesis, and there's another passage in Peter that we'll look at as well. But Noah had a testimony in difficult days. He was different. And what stands out, this is the thought, and keeps working in my heart, what made him different? What stands out in his in his character, in his testimony, that made it such a contrast to the rest of the culture in which he was living? And you guys offered me water before. Now all of a sudden here I find myself maybe needing it. But anyway, I said, no, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. I jinxed myself, if there's such a thing as jinxing yourself. But anyway, the testimony that Noah had, first of all, was marked by, this is the first thought this morning, his testimony in those days was marked by, number one, believing. Believing. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Says, by faith, Noah, and it says, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. So he was warned of God. He was given the word of God. God spoke to him. We know that. He didn't have the written word of God like we have today. He was spoken to. God talked to him. Isn't that amazing? And we could get into all that. God has talked to us too, but he's also thankfully written it down. He had it written down for us. So there we go. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. I might need it as time goes on. And so God literally spoke to Noah. But the passage here, and this is really what has spoken to my heart, was that he believed God. He moved on that word. He believed what God said. And when we really put it in the context of Genesis, Noah, it would seem, was the only one that believed what God said. Now that's, to me, is amazing, isn't it? We don't know how many people really lived on the earth at that time. I believe that there was a substantial amount of population that had grown, and I think other people have gotten into that and trying to figure it all out, but we don't need to. Noah had faith, believing what God said was true and was going to happen. Now we know that that is exactly what faith is. The Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So faith makes what God says and the promises of God, it makes it real. It gives it substance. It gives evidence. That's what it is. So faith, we know, I think that faith is not just a concept or an idea. Faith is a reality. And it makes God's word reality. And it was made it real to Noah. You see, God spoke, he warned him, hey, I'm going to judge this, or I'm going to wipe it out. We read it in Genesis chapter 6. He said, and Noah said, you know what? I believe that. I believe God. And he acted on that belief. And so that made it real to Noah. Did it make it real to everybody else? No, it didn't at first because they didn't act on it, right? That's what I mean. Now, it was real when it happened. They believed then, but they did not believe by faith, did they? The rest of the culture was moving on as though it was not going to happen, so they had no faith. We can be as Noah and believe it and act on it so that we believe God and have faith in doing so. Now, we're saved by grace through faith. The same principle. Faith principle applies in every area of our life. But it starts at salvation, doesn't it? We're saved by grace through faith. We believe, and so it makes it real to us that I, in fact, am a sinner. We have to come to grips with that. Now, I believe Noah had to understand that. He was a sinner. He was a sinner, and God was holy. When God spoke to him, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Genesis 6:8 says that. He says he knew that he was a sinner. I know I was a sinner. And I knew, and in fact, trust that you know, that you, it's impossible for us to save ourselves. See, those are Bible principles, aren't they? And they are truth that God has said, but we, by faith, must believe on them and act on them so that they are real to us. You get it? That's what faith is. It takes the truth, and I am moving on it. I'm stepping out on that truth by faith, believing it. I believe I'm a sinner. I believe I cannot save myself. I believe that Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, came to this earth and died on the cross for me, in my place, took my sin on himself. I believe that. Do you believe that? And I have accepted that. You see, I believe that. I'm trusting in that for my eternal life. Jesus' life has been given to me because I've believed by faith. I believe that's Noah, you see. And that makes the forgiveness of sins, and it gives the eternal life. It makes it real. It's real. It's real. I know it's real. Jesus Christ has saved me. That's faith. John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath definite thing, everlasting life. And it shall not come into condemnation, but is definite thing, passed from death unto life." You see? It's a definite thing believed by faith. Now, we believe by faith, and that makes God's promises true. Faith makes it real. But also, the passage here of Hebrews 11 is in the context of the just living by faith. Hebrews 10:38 says that. Now, the just shall live by faith. That's Noah. He believed by faith, but he also lived by faith. And so that's exactly how we must live as well. So Noah moved, the verse says, Hebrews 11:7 says, "Be warned of God of things not seen, is yet moved with fear." That's living by faith. He moved with respect and honor, believing God's warning was in fact true. So that has a positive and negative application to us. We believe the promise in a positive way. Perhaps there's a reward connected to the promise, okay? So we believe it and we're moved to action. Now, if I was to say to you, now, this is not going to be true because I'm not God, but if I was to say, you know, after the service, you see me after the service and I'm going to, you know, give you financially some financial thing that's going to meet all of your needs for the rest of your life. Now, if you really believe that, you'd meet me after the service, wouldn't you? I think you, if you really believe it. Now, don't believe that, okay? But I'm just using it as an example, okay? I'm not going to give you anything after the service, but I guess if you really had a need, you come see me and we'll talk about it, all right? But anyway, I have an extra daughter in my house and an uncle that lives with us. You know, things are pretty straight. Anyway, we kid about people know that we're taking these people into our home. I kid about it. You need a place to live. You just come see me, I guess. You know, I don't know. But anyway, I'm getting off track. But all right, so we say after the service, you know what? You meet me after the service. I'm going to give you, and let's just pick a number. I was going to say $1 million, but that won't do it anymore. It's inflation, you know. And so we're going to say, I'm going to give you a $10 million. $10 million. That might do it. Now, some of you with gray heads, it'll definitely do it. Okay, you're all right. $10 million will make it. All right, these young guys might not. Anyway, I'm going to give you something that's going to meet your needs for the rest of your life. Now, if you really believe that, you would act on it. There's no question about that. I work with guys all the time. I work with guys, and they, a lot of the time, I've got to say this right, will go on their break, buy something at the store to eat, and they pick up a lottery ticket. Why do they do that? Because they believe, they're acting on what they believe. If they scratch that thing, it's going to give them some sort of reward. They're acting on what they believe, you see. Now, that's the positive side. Now, we are doing that because we do that in salvation. I believe that Jesus died for me, and if I believe in Jesus Christ, my sins will be forgiven. I've acted on that. Okay, that's the positive. And the result or the benefit of that is eternal life in heaven. So we're living and acting on that belief. That's the positive side. Now, they can also have a negative to that as well. Follow me on this, right? If we were to say, hey, the building's on fire, you know, because the chicken casserole's burning. We have chicken casserole today. Oh, man, what? No, but, you know, so we could say, all right, if we said that, though, and we still sat here and it burned, who's to blame? Well, we are. Because we could be warned, but if we don't take it to action, you see, then it does us no good. Does us no good. Now, you think about that in terms of eternity. Do we believe in a literal hell? Well, I hope so. That's what the Bible teaches, okay? And we can deny that fact, but we're not taking action on that. It's going to have a negative effect. You see? All this is a lot to this whole concept. And it's really more than concept. But so turn back to Genesis chapter 6 for a moment. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 12 says, "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." There's the warning. And in verse 13, I've lost my place here. I already read verse 13. Verse 14 says, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without." So it continues down through, and it describes exactly what he is supposed to do. And then in verse 22 of chapter 6, it says, "Thus did Noah." Did you get it? He did it. He believed it. Noah, who made a difference in difficult days, believed God. And you and I must believe God. That's the simple point. You say you took an awful long time to get to it. And that's just the first one. But Noah simply believed God, and he did something about it. Noah, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Chapter 7, verse 5, "And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him." A simple, yet profound, maybe, point. I believe our response must be faith. Believing, moving, acting. Like it is, the warnings contained in God's word are in fact true. Because they are. Because they are. That a testimony in terrible times or making a difference in difficult days, I like alliterating things, starts with a testimony that is marked by believing. Number two. I must move on. Now, I got to admit, I peeked at your website because I wanted to make sure nobody else has preached on Noah lately. Now, I don't know if they have because it wasn't right up to date. Has anybody preached on Noah lately? Okay, good. Doesn't matter anyway. But I was going to preach on Noah regardless. But I also noticed something, that I'm one of the shorter preachers, not in height, but in length of message. That was surprising to me, because I'm not known for my brevity. Mike Reed preaches a long time. Mike, are you listening to this? he had some 50 minute, almost an hour. I noticed that. Anyway, going on, it was not only a testimony marked by believing, it was also a testimony, a testimony marked by building, marked by building. I love this point because it's, again, simple. Yeah, I believe that we have to pay attention to it. What do you mean? Well, I don't know what I mean. Maybe you could... No, anyway, he moved with fear, Hebrews 11, verse 7, he moved with fear, prepared an ark. Isn't that simple? You say, well, yeah, that's what God told him to do. Exactly. If we're going to make a difference in difficult days, we have to be doing what God has called us to do. It's as simple as that. For Noah, God said, hey, build an ark out of gopher wood. I don't even know what gopher wood is. But he did. Pitch it within and without. So he did it. He built it exactly as God told him to build it. And that's exactly, I believe, the application to us. You read Genesis 6, verses 16, 17. Very specific instruction about how that was to be done. Faith made it real or made it happen. But when Noah did all that by faith, because he had never seen rain before. He'd never seen a boat before. He'd never seen any of those things. But God said, Noah did. He built. And he did it. We understand that he might have hired some subcontractors. I don't know. I've not been to the Ark experience out in Kentucky. We were at the Creation Museum just before the Ark experience thing opened. Okay, how many have been there? Have anybody been there at all? Some have. All right. And that's great. I'm glad you have. But I just understand. The thing was big. Okay? It was big. And he's building this ark. I mean, he had sons, but I don't know how old they may. Probably only 200 or 300 years old. I don't know. And he's like, they were just young guys. I mean, how are they supposed to help him? But they hadn't seen a boat either. Okay? And he's building this thing. And God says, build it up. Build a cubit. This thing is big. How am I supposed to do that, God? Well, all I know is Noah did it. And when we think about passages, you know these passages as well. We turn to Matthew 28 just for a minute. Now, this is not new territory either, but it's good reminders. Because when we think about the size of the task or the size of the job and responsibility that we have before a world that needs to know about Jesus Christ, we can be overwhelmed too. You say, but I'm only one person. But you know what? We can do what God has called us to do. Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We can say amen, we can agree with that, but you know what? I'm challenged, I'm convicted about my responsibility to do what God has called me to do. And we can be part of the building, the labor, the work, the serving that is part of God's work. We all have a responsibility. We're saved to serve. And I believe Noah understood that. You know, he was given a great, great job, a big job. But he did what God told him to do. John 13, another passage that I think is helpful to us because it shows our Savior as a tremendous example in washing the disciples' feet. And he says in John 13, verse 15 to 17, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them. If you do them. We're going to get to this point later on, but the blessings that came to Noah was because he did it. He built. And that's what Jesus is saying to his disciples, and I believe Jesus is saying to us today. He says, you do it. You do what I've called you to do, folks. You're my child. You're my servant. You do as I have commanded to do. Noah did, and he was different in difficult days because he believed and because he built. Number three, he had a testimony marked by the word I use is boldness. Boldness. He had courage. He had courage. For this point, we move from Hebrews 11, but we just a little bit ahead to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. 2 Peter uses really Noah as an example. That's what Peter is doing as he writes this second epistle. And the context begins really further back, but it says, 2 Peter 2:4 says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and," here's another example, "spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness," it says, "bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." And this is where I get my point. He was bold because he was a preacher of righteousness. In a world that, by and large, by all evidence given in the Bible, didn't listen. They didn't listen. But he was bold. He boldly proclaimed the word of God to the world in which he was living. He was a preacher of righteousness. First Peter 3:20 says, "While the ark," he did it while the ark he was preparing. It says, let me just back up to that verse. Chapter 3, verse 20. 1 Peter 3:20 says, "Which some were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few," that is, eight souls, "were saved by water." And so when we put that, and you put that with the dates of the length of Noah's life and how long it took him to build the ark, about 120 years approximately, you can find that if you follow through the details. But anyway, 120 years preaching, boldly preaching, preaching, preaching. There's a flood coming, there's a flood coming, there's a flood coming. What's a flood, Noah? What are you doing, Noah? He preached righteousness. And so I have to believe that he didn't just preach about the coming flood. He preached about the wickedness that was happening in the world. And he preached what God said was right. And so that they would know that they were wrong. You see? That's what good Bible preaching does. It tells us what God says so that we can then line our lives up with that. Am I right? Am I wrong? Preaching righteousness is not a popular thing today. Okay, Bible preaching is something that is shunned and pushed aside. As a matter of fact, most churches today, so-called churches, wouldn't preach righteousness. They would just preach something to make you feel good. Well, I think that we ought to feel good, but maybe not all the time, right? We want to be encouraged in the things of the Lord, but we have to know what is wrong so we can make it right. Anyway, I believe that he preached and was bold in his preaching because he believed, right, again, that the flood and judgment was in fact coming. And I believe that is why we today must continue to preach the gospel to every creature, because judgment is coming. And it's because of that we must preach. Romans 10, 13 and 14 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not heard, have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Oh, we must preach. Noah's day, whosoever believed was saved in the ark. In our day, whosoever believes is saved in Jesus Christ. They are saved from judgment in the ark. We're saved from judgment for our sins in Jesus Christ. Paul said, "Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel." Let me tell you, it's a bold thing to preach the gospel. It's a bold thing. And I think that for us to be so narrow-minded and to think and to believe that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life, and that no man cometh unto the Father but by him, it's a bold thing to live that. It's a bold thing to say that. His testimony was marked by boldness in his preaching. But I can also say it was also bold in his persistence. In other words, he kept at it. 120 years. 120 years of building and boldly preaching. He just stayed with it, with nobody really paying attention or listening or believing or going along. Whether they helped on the ark or not, I don't know all of that. But what a challenge it is to stay at it. Our world, and perhaps even me, has become so used to fast food and fast service and instant messaging and drive-through and drop-off and all of these quick things that I believe that we have lost our consistent and persistent stay-at-it commitment to serve God. Don't lose that. We need to stay at it. Be faithful. Continue as Noah did. I tell you, I like watching basketball. I like watching the Boston Celtics play in the playoffs, not last night. They didn't do too well. But, I often have thought about how sports enamored a lot of our culture is, whether you're not, I don't know. But people are thrilled when the game goes into overtime. But boy, when the preacher goes into overtime, oh boy. Woe is him. I am undone. Let my people go. Yeah. There's a lot to it. Well, I believe that Noah is an example to us because he built, he boldly preached, and he stayed and didn't quit. He didn't give up. He didn't say, well, the work is too hard, it's taking too long, nobody listens, the gopher wood is heavy, the pitch is sticky, and man, those animals are going to make a mess of it all. But he kept going, and he kept going. And I believe that we must as well. We must be bold. We must be bold. We must build, and we must believe. Number four. Get a testimony that was marked by the blessings. By the blessings. Because you know there's blessings in all of that. You know, as hard as the days are and as difficult as it is to be faithful, but God gives us grace. We've said that. God gives us the strength to live for Him. There are blessings that come along, and there were in Noah's life as well. I think there's a tremendous good side of all of this. If it's been negative so far, it hasn't meant to be. Completely negative, but it's to enlighten us and to open our eyes to the truth. There are blessings, though, and there never would have been the blessings, I put it this way in my notes, without believing and without building and without being bold, you see. He wouldn't have had the blessings. How do we know? Because nobody else in all of the world of that day had the blessings Noah did. Nobody else. It was only him. And everyone else died. Noah and his family lived. So Noah believed, and his children also believed. So there's blessings, first of all, of salvation. We're back in Hebrews 11, verse 7. It says, he, by faith, Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark, and it says this, to the saving of his house. To the saving of his house. By which the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So he became an heir of righteousness. And his family, we know, as we read the scriptures, they also believed and went into the ark with him. His sons, his daughters-in-law, praise God for that. That's a blessing, isn't it? It's a blessing to be saved, for sure. To be child of God. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We know that. It's a blessing to be a child of God, to receive him, believe on his name. He gives power to us. We become a child, a son of God. That's a blessing, but also the blessing of seeing his family saved with him. It's a blessing to see our children accept Jesus Christ, isn't it? Oh, it sure has been for us. To know that they, as children, in our case, all of them as young children, have bowed their heads before the Lord and believed on Jesus Christ and have been saved. That's a blessing, folks. And I believe it's because Noah believed. They also followed his example. Now, there's no second generation Christians, okay, as far as that goes. God doesn't, we always said God doesn't have any grandchildren, right? We do, though. We have three grandkids. Oh, no, I divert there. But anyway, we have to be careful. We know, but we can live before them, give them the truth, and then they have to choose for themselves. And that happened in Noah's life, in Noah's family. Noah's family was saved with him. You remember the example of the Philippian jailer in Acts 16:31. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Acts 16:30. What was the response of Paul and Silas? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, how's the verse end? And thy house. What happens in Acts 16? The Philippian jailer was miraculously saved. But also, it says that his house was too. His children accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. 3 John verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Oh, there is no greater joy to know that our children are following the Lord today. Noah believed, his children believed, to the saving of his house, the blessings of salvation. There's also the blessing of security or assurance of being secure in that ark of safety. That's what saved them from the waters, right? They had to be in the ark. And we have to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a picture that is. Because Noah believed and built as God said, God closed the door. God sealed it. Genesis 7:16 says, the Lord shut him in. And that's how it is when we believe and accept Jesus Christ. The Lord seals us in. God seals us in. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. That's a tremendous picture there. You can read it follow it for yourself. In 1 John, look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 2. Are you still with me? I'm almost done, really. I'm not Mike Reed. I'm Randy Reisinger, okay? I'm just kidding. If Brother Reed, if I see him, I'm going to give him a hard time too, so don't worry about it. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12 says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's as simple as that. Do you have the Son of God? Is he your Savior today? If you do, you have life, eternal life. It's the life that Jesus Christ gives. It's his life. These things, 1 John 5:13 says, have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Oh, it's written so that we can know. We have full assurance that we are in Jesus Christ today. I hope that you have that assurance. 2 Corinthians 1:22 says, who hath sealed us and given us the earnest of his Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 says, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Safe and secure from all alarms, right? The hymn writer said, we're safe in Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Noah found grace. His family was saved. They were secure. He had the blessings that come from obedience to God. The blessing of sacrifice or worship in Genesis chapter 8. In Genesis chapter 8, I'm almost done. Stay with me. This is a blessing, folks. The blessing of knowing Jesus Christ comes with the blessing of sacrifice and worship. Hebrews says a sacrifice of praise. We are talking about what Noah was able to do because God had prepared for him to worship by bringing 7 clean animals instead of just 2 by 2. It was 7 clean so that he might have worship after. God prepared that. And God has prepared the way for us to worship Jesus Christ today. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 20, and Noah building an altar unto the Lord, L-O-R-D capitalized, Lord God Jehovah. And he says, and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled, it says, a sweet savor. As he sacrificed, it's sweet before the Lord's nostrils in heaven. It's a scene that we really can't fully comprehend. But the worship and bowing and reverence, that's what worship is. In every air, bowing to him, reverencing and honoring God. It's a sweet smell before God in heaven. He says, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold, and heat. I won't go, I was going to divert there. But summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. It continues on. It doesn't end. It's the blessings of worship, the blessing of sacrifice, of salvation, of safety, and then last of all, the blessing of supplying God's needs. God provided and prepared for the sacrifices, I said. God provided for Noah's family and Noah and his family in Genesis chapter 9, and God provides for us today. God's provision for us is abundant. He provides, He blesses, He gives, He looks after His children. David said, when I was young, now I'm old, I've never seen the righteous begging bread, something like that. I don't know if I got it exactly right, but I've seen the same thing. I'm not that old, getting older. But you know what? I've seen God be faithful. That's a blessing of being His child. I try and be a good father. Not always. I fail so often. But you know, I have a heavenly Father that is perfect, and He provides for His own in every single way. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing. I can depend on Him. Noah lived in very difficult days. And folks, the reality of it for us is we live in difficult days. It's not going to get any better. It's not going to get any easier. I'm not trying to be pessimistic. I'm just trying to deal with reality. There's so many things that we talk about. You know what? We're not looking for necessarily just a change in our government or who's in the leadership in the White House, who's in control of the House or the Senate. We are looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. And the Bible describes that our day is not going to get better because of a change in administration. It's going to get better because Jesus Christ will reign. And He'll reign on this literal earth for 1,000 years, but He'll reign in eternity as well. And we can reign with Him. You can be with Him. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing. But now we live in difficult days, yes. But Noah in his day was different. He had a testimony, I believe, that made an impact. The culture and corruption didn't affect Noah, you see. Did he necessarily, he didn't see the converts that I'm sure he desired and that God would have wanted. He didn't see that. But the culture also didn't change Noah. May it not change us. May it not change us. Noah stayed faithful, believing, building, boldly, and he had the blessings that come by faith. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much today again for this truth and for these things from this well-known character in our Bibles, the character of Noah. And I pray that we can see exactly how his life does apply to our life today. And I would pray for each one here this morning, perhaps there's someone here that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They need to be saved today. Oh, how I pray, Lord, that you will convict that heart, help them, give them courage to respond to that convicting Holy Spirit within that is prompting them and telling them, oh, I need Jesus. I need to be forgiven. I'm a sinner and I know it. How can I be saved from that? Oh, I pray, Lord, that you'll give them courage to respond, ask questions, see from the Bible how they can be born again. And Lord, today for us as Christians that perhaps have fallen by the wayside, we've stopped perhaps being building and stopped being bold. And perhaps we've stopped recognizing the blessings of being your child. Oh, I pray today that these things by faith will be a reality in our lives. And that will help us to continue on until the day we see you. Oh, how we look forward to that day. I pray, Lord, your help. And I pray that, Lord, we'll take these things and continue to ponder and apply them in the days ahead, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen.